Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
You want to dance?
Well, I've been thinking about that since you brought it up before.
And?
No.
I really don't think things could get any worse.
Of course they can.
This ship can't sink. She's made of iron, sir. I assure you, she can't.
Wouldn't it be ghastly?
I'm Jim Burns. When Angela Thomas became a single mother, she was determined to become the best single mom possible. She threw herself into her new season of life with reckless abandon, and yet, for all of her efforts, she still couldn't escape the feelings of guilt, shame, and even loneliness. Angela Thomas soon discovered that she was experiencing what she now calls post-traumatic single mom syndrome. And now she encourages other single again mothers with the wisdom and insight that she has gained from this experience. During the next half hour, I'll continue my conversation with Angela Thomas about practical lessons for the single mom life. If you're a single mom or if you know someone who is, this is a conversation you will want to hear. From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, graduating difference maker since 1899, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh, and during the next half hour, part two of our continuing conversation with author and speaker Angela Thomas. Her book, My Single Mom Life, has been a big encouragement to Homeward listeners over the years, and we're revisiting a conversation she had with Jim not too long ago. Before we get into the conversation, though, I want to thank you for your prayers and faithful financial support of this ministry. We are completely listener-supported here on the broadcast side of the building, and so your tax-deductible donations of $50, $100, $200 or more go a long way toward keeping our production costs very, very low. You can give a gift online through our secure website at homeward.com. That's H-O-M-E-W-O-R-D.com. Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Angela Thomas is with us. It's a continuing conversation about practical lessons for the single mom life. A great lady and just a dynamic person who has been through the pain of divorce, the embarrassment of some of those issues, and you know, is coming out on the other side and doing well. She's written a great book called My Single Mom Life. And even if you are not a single mom, this is going to be a very good program here on Homeward today. Angela, welcome to our program.
Thanks for having me.
You know, Angela, all people, or almost all people, who go through some kind of a divorce, you know, always say the word pain. You use the word empty. My soul was empty. I was ashamed of my emptiness before God. And many people probably don't voice that. But you, at one point in your life, you just said, you know what, I feel empty.
Exactly. Because everything you thought was going to happen and the way you believed you were going to raise your kids, right, or the dreams that you'd been made, well, they're just wiped out. Maybe you've been trying to hold it all together for years and years and years, still hanging and clinging and figuring, and then it's all gone. And I think there is an emptiness that is deep and sometimes very dark.
And it's interesting because there's probably some emptiness before the actual divorce.
Oh, my goodness.
But we become more in touch with it once it's kind of final.
Exactly. And then there are all kinds of physical things that happen. The emptiness of when the kids are away with their dad and you're alone in a home, not just for 20 minutes until the one gets home from school, but it's days. Right. And so it gets louder, that empty place.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting? It's an interesting way to say it. One of the things that you say is you meet a lot of women who you say suffer from post-traumatic single mom syndrome.
Well, now, you know I made that up.
I love that phrase.
But there's so many of us. It turns out there are over 14 million single moms in the United States alone. And most of us became single moms through something difficult or disappointing. And so for me, the first few years after I became a single mom, I mean, I know the kids got fed. And obviously they had clothes on every day. And somehow they were clean and the beds got made. But I just almost don't even know how we did it. And it was me. I was the one showing up and driving them to school and taking them to soccer practice. But it was that post-traumatic single mom stress syndrome where you're just going through life, but you have no idea how you are connecting the dots.
Yeah. And yet you just keep doing it.
You do.
You do it day after day, minute by minute sometimes. And you look out and say, you know what? We're sort of getting through this.
We are. We're a year down the road now.
Right.
Oh, my goodness. We're still living and breathing, and we've gotten through the holidays for the first time, and now we're 2 years down the road. And look, I think we're going to all be okay.
Yeah, and even the socks
match most days.
Or you decide not to ever match socks again.
Exactly.
Which is a freedom everyone should come to.
Absolutely. Now, you say that you felt guilt, and you talk about wrong guilt and right guilt. Help us understand what is wrong guilt, what's right guilt.
Well, goodness, you know, you feel guilty because your kids are going to have to grow up with a label and in a place you never intended. You're going to give them the best and the brightest and the most of everything. And so sometimes from that guilty place, we can get to a wrong guilt. The wrong guilt's the one that says, well, my kid might have a broken home, but they're never going to have, you know, rundown soccer shoes, or they're going to have the best birthday party ever. And we do all these kind of ridiculous things to try to make up for what we believe they lack. But then there is a right guilt, and the right guilt's the one that gets you up in the morning, and the one that just makes you decide on the inside, I need to be healed, and I need to find a healthy emotional place for my children. The right guilt is the one that motivates you to become an amazing woman, because that's what these kids deserve.
And it's a process.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. Talk about a principle that you have in your book for single moms. Do the very best you can with their dad.
Yeah.
Now, you know, we don't like to sometimes even bring up the ex story, but he's there. He's present. He's their dad. And in situations, sometimes there are okay dads, and sometimes there's some really horrible, you know, stories. But basically, dad is still present. How do you handle that?
Well, everyone that I talk to, it's all different. You know, different relationships. You don't get a divorce because it's working great. And so on the other side of that, many times are difficult ways of interacting. And so I've decided you just, for the sake of the kids, you have to do the very best you can. And if it means you text and email to remove the tone, then you do that. Yeah. And if you need to be the one to buy the gifts for the children to give to their dad, then you graciously do that so that your kids can enjoy what it feels like to be givers. And it's not about you anymore. It's not about me anymore. It is about my kids and their relationship with their dad. And so you do the very best you can.
You do the very best you can, yet at times you hear how cool dad's new girlfriend is. And what do you do with that?
You go, oh, I don't know. You go get ice cream. I don't know. It's so hard. You go, well, honey, tell me about her. You know, you have a conversation and try to keep it open. I know there are times the children have said things to me and I don't know how to process it. I go, well, tell me. Tell me what cool is to you. Tell me what cool feels like. And so we just are trying to keep all the lines open. Well,
but what do you do when they say something like that, and you're trying to be great with your kids, and you get past that, but man, they just stabbed you in the heart.
Yeah.
I mean, do you go to a friend and talk with a friend?
Yeah, you go to a friend and you get coffee and you scream and have tears. Right. Then I have come to know too, though, that if the kids tell you something and it's completely wrong, it's not the way you want your kids to grow up believing or thinking, it is very okay that you correct a misguided decision or a misguided response, that you say, no, honey, that is not how things should be handled. Honey, now you know that in the world, it's important to be on time and keep your commitments. Or if you say yes, you should really follow through with that. It's okay to correct a way that could influence the character of your children.
Now, kind of speaking of the correction side, so many parents will talk to me who are single and they'll say, you know, I'm a believer and we live by these morals. And on the weekends, they're at our house. We go to church. They go over to dad's or mom's house, and there's pornography available. They don't go to church, and dad is sleeping with the third person in there. How does a single mom who's the one who's trying to, you know, live for God and really build character in the life of the kids, how does she deal with that?
Well, if she can talk to the ex-spouse, mm-hmm. then you do. And you say, would you respect me enough that we could keep these morals and you have that kind of life when the kids are not there? If it's completely inappropriate, then I think it's very okay not to send them there and you don't send children into pornography. You don't send children into an adulterous lifestyle. You don't send them into a drunken, you know, raging kind of a place. You would never do that because you are the protector. And so I do not believe that has to be allowed. But there are more minute kind of things that happen. Sure. A movie is allowed on television that you wouldn't allow, or something that's just filtered, maybe, you know, gambling, just little things that the kids are getting wind of. And so again, if you're not talking to your kids, it's a sinking ship here, but we have to be able to sit down with them and say, listen, I know what you see at your dad's. You know that you and I here at the house, we've decided that that's inappropriate for us. Do you understand why I think that's inappropriate? And the only thing you can do is just to keep reiterating the strong values that you have and beg God to call them up, to call them up to what you teach them at home.
Yeah, that's great. Great input. And one of the things you say is forget about what's fair because it's all about the kids for
now. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Good. We'll talk a little bit more about that when we come back. We'll be right back with more. Angela Thomas with us, Practical Lessons for the Single Mom Life.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. And she is the author of the book, My Single Mom Life, which is one that Dr. Jim Burns highly recommends. It's up at homeward.com if you want to have a look at that and see how Angela was able to weather the storm for many, many years before eventually remarrying shortly after we finished recording this interview, as a matter of fact. The great thing about the Homeward ministry that I have appreciated for these many years of being a part of it is the fact that we can have these conversations and talk about issues like sexual purity and single parenting, things like that, that you don't always hear about in other programs, and we can do so in a way that's very candid and refreshing at the same time. The Pure Foundation series that Dr. Jim Burns has written consists of about 5 books and some audio materials and some visuals as well that can help you engage your kids in meaningful dialogue about what sexual purity means. It's more than just saying don't have sex before you get married, or it's not saying, you know, put the blinders on and forget what's happening in the culture. Have an honest dialogue with the Pure Foundation series. Learn more at homeward.com.
I'm Jim Burns with today's Homeward Snapshot.
So have you told the kids yet?
How can I?
But Mayor, you have to. I mean, haven't they begun to notice that their dad isn't around much anymore?
The truth? They're so used to him being gone so much, I guess it's not that big of a deal to them.
Have you talked to him about custody of the kids?
No, but I want to be sure the kids stay with me. If they only knew what a jerk he's been to us, they'd hate him as much as I do.
If you're divorcing your spouse, it's important to remember that the two of you made the decision to separate. Your kids didn't. And while I know you're in a difficult position, you really owe it to your kids to talk the situation through with them, rather than putting them in a position where they have to choose between mom and dad. Make sure they hear you say your divorce had nothing to do with them. Tell them often how much you love them. And if you'd like to read my tip sheet called Tips for Helping Your Kids Deal with Divorce, you can download a free copy from our website at homeward.com. I'm Jim Burns. Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns. Angela Thomas with us, Practical Lessons for the Single Mom Life, popular conference speaker, author of 10 books, great books, a master's degree from Dallas Theological Seminary, single mother of 4 who lives with her kids in Knoxville, Tennessee. I love this accent, too, by the way.
It's a North Carolina accent.
It's
you can't
great
mistake it.
North Carolina accent. I love that. You know, right before the break, we talked about forget about what's fair because it's all about the kids for now. Does that mean that you give up your personal life as a single mom? Do you not have much of a single life? Is that what you're suggesting? Or are you saying, no, put the kids first, but still, also there's some other parts to your life that you've got to take care of, too?
I think there is very much a personal life still for a single mom. There is a personal spiritual life. There's the care of her physical body, getting a stronger body so she can be a stronger mom. And then there's that whole social thing about dating. You know, do you date or do you not?
And it really is even within the Christian world. You know, people are adamant one way or the other.
And I have heard some very strong arguments both ways. I knew for myself that at least for the first 3 years, I didn't have any business out spending time with anybody. Because there was just so much wounding. There's the woman who got lost in the process of the last 20 years. I mean, who was I going to be? I forgot, you know. And so there was so much healing that needed to happen. And then when I did finally get to the place where I thought, I think I'm ready to have coffee or have a great conversation or see a movie with someone, I knew immediately the kids are not dating. And I just don't think they should be taken through that emotional kind of trauma, different people knocking on the door, taking mom to get dinner. It's ridiculous. That just seems so completely inappropriate. And so some women decide, no, I won't date until the children are grown. And then some decide that they will wait to get healthy. And I understand why other women choose too soon and make poor choices. because it's very lonely. And so I would say to my friends, I want to face this loneliness with integrity. My girlfriend called to the house one Saturday night. The kids were with their dad. It's about 8 o'clock. She said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I am over here with all my integrity." She said, "Take your integrity and go to bed," you know, because it is a willful decision. It's a decision of the heart and the mind that I will, it's hard and it's empty, but I will not make a decision out of desperate. I will not make a decision out of lonely. I will make a decision when it's God's timing out of a healthy place.
No, and that's a great thing. I was thinking of a scripture that says, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. And sometimes it's just frankly self-discipline to be at home on a Saturday night at 8 o'clock,
yeah,
and not be out. Or again, not be in a compromising relationship or things like that. That is so easy for folks to go into.
Exactly. Someone asked me, what piece of advice would you give to single moms? And always say, go to bed early, but not for the obvious reasons. I mean, obviously we're exhausted, but what I realized for myself is that between 9 p.m. and 11 p.m., about the time I'd gotten the kids in bed, scratched everybody's back, you know, made my rounds, loved on them all, those hours were so quiet. And if I were going to let myself sink down, it would be between 9 and 11. And I understand, I would look around me and see women, they were making the poorest choices between 9 and 11. They're in chat rooms with people they don't know. They're surfing the net. They're watching things on television that nobody has any business watching. They're reading things nobody has any business reading. And so 4 or 5 years ago, I decided to take a Tylenol PM about 8:30. And when I get the kids to sleep, go to bed, because, you know, all that lonely thing didn't bug me in the morning. I just jump up with the sun and I am rolling for a new day. But I had to figure out where my most empty hours were and go ahead and cut those out for a while.
That's great, great advice. Going back to kind of talking about the kids, you encourage single moms to say yes every single time you can. But at the same time, there are times when you have to say no.
Because we have to say no so much. Mm-hmm. You know, no, you can't do that. But so I try to set them up that I can say yes as often as possible. Yeah. Can we have 14 people sleep over here and will you feed them all? Well, yes. You know, just yes to everything that I can say yes to.
And yet you called yourself earlier a boundary mom. And you actually have a pretty strong boundary. No, at least when you wrote the book, no internet at all.
Yeah.
Talk about
no
that.
Instant messaging, no, you know, surfing the internet. If my kids need to do research on penguins for a report for school, then I sit with them. Mm-hmm. We print it all out. Mm-hmm. They take what we printed out and go to the kitchen table. And because there are great, as I understand it, filters out there for parents where you can trace everything they've done. You can sit at the end of the day and read their history, read all their instant messages. I don't have time. Right. I really can't police that like it should be. I don't have time. And so I've decided we just won't do that. Yeah. And I believe they have the rest of their lives to figure out how to navigate the internet. I don't think that they are missing anything in particular. They all know how to work the computer and how to do things. They have computer classes at school, but they don't sit in front of the computer.
You know, I think it's a bigger issue. I loved that. And, you know, everybody's going to have to make a decision.
Sure.
You know,
it's an individual decision.
And yet what I loved is you're saying, you know what, I'm a single mom. I can handle only so much. Because I think what happens is so many single parents that I see are overwhelmed. They're just absolutely overwhelmed. They're overcommitted. They're underconnected with anybody. And then their kids are kind of running around because they don't have the time. And what you said was, look it, I don't care if every other kid in the universe does this. Or at least it feels that way.
It feels that way to my kids.
But we're not going to do this particular thing. And that may mean, so instead of being on three little league teams and the dance recitals and all that, you say, look, we're going to do one thing.
Yeah, one thing per kid. And when you have four, that's plenty.
Sure.
And so we don't do the internet. When they don't get to see the movies everybody else gets to see. And I just have some very strong boundaries up. And they are completely not for the purpose of taking the fun out of life, but for the purpose of protecting their minds and their souls.
Right.
And so it doesn't make me the, you know, most exciting mom sometimes, but they go with it.
And that's why you have to be the groovy mom, as you said, and say yes as often as you can.
Yeah, and make it fun, because we are not relegated to the back pew at church, and we are not relegated to limp along for the rest of our lives just because we're single moms. There's plenty to celebrate, and there's a home to be made, and a beautiful life to be lived. And I really believe that where God is, those kids can still turn out to be amazing mm-hmm. grown-up people. And where God is, that woman can become a strong, vivacious, passionate woman who is alive and in tune with God's call on her life. And I know that we have faced very difficult circumstances, and I know there are women listening to us who just don't even have a hope. But I promise that when you lay your life on the altar of God, and when you say to Him, I will do what you ask, I will live how you are, will you come and cover me and cover my children? The Lord comes. And the steps out may be very tiny, and the way may not be clear, and it might just be enough light to stand on for this very day. But I do know that the only hope we have is the only hope we've ever had, and His name is Jesus.
Mm. Thank you for being with us and for being so incredibly affirming and yet practical.
Thank you for having me.
You're a wonderful person. It's a great book. Practical Lessons for the Single Mom Life has been our theme today on Homeward. Angela Thomas, my guest, and we've been discussing this most important topic. I'm reminded of how crucial it is for every parent to make sure our emotional and our physical and our spiritual and even our financial reserves are in good shape to take on kids and life, period, but especially if you're a single parent. And as you've heard me say on this program many times, I'm becoming more and more convinced that a commitment to self-care is essential if you're going to be, well, the parents that your kids need you to be. It's this breathless pace of modern living that is really sucking a lot of the gas out of us and making us sometimes people that act crazy instead of people who really are focused on trying to help our kids be all that the best they can and us as well. You know, in the closing moments of today's program, I actually want to encourage you to start thinking about taking what I like to call a family Sabbath once a week. Now, Sabbath brings this religious connotation. It sometimes brings legalism to it, and it's neither. The word Sabbath actually means in Hebrew, rest. And we all need time to recharge our batteries, and a Sabbath or a rest gives us the perfect opportunity to do so. Now, again, I don't want to sound too legalistic. It doesn't have to happen on a Saturday or on a Sunday. Now, again, Orthodox Jews believe that, and there are others, but it really is just taking some rest for your family. This is the way I want to look at it. In the Burns family, we've identified four elements for making a healthy Sabbath. And again, we don't even use the word Sabbath. We use the word kind of refreshment, if you would. And actually, that's one of the four words that I would use to help describe what I'm talking about. They are rest, make that every week, refreshment every week, restoration, and recreation. You know, when it comes to resting, there are no all-inclusive rules for this, and even how you would define it. Whatever brings you rest, I say do it. You know, maybe it's a short nap in the afternoon. Maybe it's sleeping an extra hour on your rest day. Anything that relaxes you counts in that category. And I think the entire family should have a time to rest sometime within the week. And it's your job as a parent. Your kids aren't going to come up and say, hey, I want to rest. It's your job to do that. Also, as far as refreshment goes, that just simply means a time to re-energize your soul. For my wife, Kathy, she's refreshed by spending time alone, oftentimes for her, lying in the sun by our pool or at the beach. We live by the beach. As for me, I'm energized by people. I just spent this morning actually at the beach at a little coffee shop where my support group and I get together, and that just absolutely rejuvenates me when I'm with good friends. So that's refreshment, whatever refreshes your soul. Then it comes to restoration. The first place I look to is God's word for restoration. The modern world can be so damaging to the soul, and that's why I think it's important to spend daily time alone with Scripture. But also take some time during this week to read a good book, maybe on a good book on a spiritual topic, or listen to a worship CD or even a teaching message. It takes time. It takes intentionality to restore your spiritual soul, and that will bring restoration to your life. It will bring restoration to your marriage as your kids as well. You can go to homeward.com and get some of our programs as well. You can download those. You can podcast them, and that may bring you some restoration as you think about your family. Finally, recreation. You know, the process of recreating what the world takes out of you. And family playtime is golden, my book. I believe that the family that plays together stays together. So make having fun a priority in your home as well. Those four issues are going to help you develop a Sabbath that will really work for you, as my guess. And here's Roger with some information on a couple of resources that can help you through your parenting season.
Absolutely. I know that, Jim, the book Confident Parenting is a big one for a lot of parents these days because we think about having a Sabbath or trying to do a family game night and don't think we can get the job done Confident Parenting is a book that Dr. Jim Burns has written to reinstill the confidence that you already have in your parenting abilities and the fact that God's going to guide you through this season. You just need a little confidence booster. Confident Parenting is the book, and you can order a copy directly from our online resource center today at homeward.com. When you do, a portion of the proceeds goes to supporting our ministry, and we truly appreciate that tax-deductible donation. Also, Jim's book, Teenology, The Art of Raising Great Teenagers, a big help, especially if you're a single parent, because the teenage years are just weird with kids. Let's face it, you won't even recognize your son or daughter half the time. Teenology, also available at homeward.com, H-O-M-E-W-O-R-D.com.
Well, please know how much we appreciate your prayers and your ongoing financial support of Homeward. You can give a gift through our secure website at homeward.com. You can also mail your tax-deductible donation to Homeward, Post Office Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. You can also friend me on Facebook, and if you'd like to follow me on Twitter, you can now get my tweets, 140 characters of positive words about parenting, marriage, and faith. Until next time, I'm Jim Burns. Thanks for tuning in today to Homeward.
Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.